Radio Daily for Not Monday, which is a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a fantastic thing. And sure, you can drive up on the 22nd of June and help us move. We'd love that. There'll be burgers and beer. How could you possibly say no to that?
Ooh.
Hell, maybe we'll go to ZZQ. There's no idea. Everyone's being pink on ZZQ, though. I can't afford that at all. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We welcome you to the 11th of June. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man who's been doing this podcasting thing long enough that he's got the best piece of advice for you and you need to damn well listen. That right there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Me, I'm the guy that puts a smile on his face, even though inside I'm just a man-child who's scared of everything and terrified, though I call myself the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I hope I didn't say that out loud just now.
What happened, yo?
Since I don't get paid, does that mean...
That means you learned the lesson the hard way.
Yeah. In 1889, Thomas Edison has issued a patent for an electrical distribution system.
It's called Dealing. 1892, Limelight Department. One of the first film studios is established in Melbourne, Australia.
1895, the first U.S. patent for a gasoline-driven automobile by a U.S. inventor is issued to Charles E. Duryea.
Yeah! 1901, Thomas Edison is granted a patent for the phonographic recording apparatus.
1928, a rocket is attached to an aircraft for the first time. The aircraft is a glider, and the experiment is directed by German aircraft designer Alexander Lipsitch. Glider launches under the power of one rocket and an elastic launching rope that acts as a slingshot.
Wow. And people say that the steam is not enough. 1929, Walt Disney files a trademark application for the image of Mickey Mouse with the United States Patent Office and spends the next 90 years fighting to get patents extended.
Figured they'd be working more on the cryogenic thawing process. In 1935, inventor Edwin Armstrong gives the first public demonstration of FM broadcasting in the United States in Alpine, New Jersey.
1963, a patent for the Mercury space capsule is granted to Blanchard, Chilton, Fadgett, Hammock, Johnson, Keelett, and Meir and assigned to NASA.
Well, who else is going to hold it? 1975, Harvard professor Michael McElroy and other scientists concerned about atmospheric ozone depletion proclaim their support for banning chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, as propellant in spray cans. The U.S. government will implement a prohibition on chlorofluorocarbons 3 years later because climate change is not a myth.
Nope. Well, you could just move to another place. That's all. 1978, Texas Instruments Incorporated introduces the Speak and Spell, an educational device for elementary children at the Summer Consumer Electronic Show.
Wait, shouldn't that be in birthdays for Stephen? In 1982, Universal Pictures releases the science fiction film E.T. the Extraterrestrial, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Henry Thomas D. Wallace, Robert McNaughton, Drew Barrymore, and Peter Coyote.
1986, Paramount Pictures releases the comedy film Ferris Bueller's Day Off, directed by John Hughes, starring Matthew Broderick, Alan Ruck, and Mia Sara, and I really thought we said that yesterday.
Of course, as we all know, it is the prequel to Fight Club.
Yep.
1988, the term General Public License, or GPL, is used for the first time.
1990, a U.S. District Judge in San Francisco rejects Nintendo's request to issue a restraining order against Louis Galoob Toys to prevent the sale of the Game Genie.
1993, Universal Pictures releases the science fiction film Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Richard Attenborough, Samuel L. Jackson, and Jeff Goldblum.
Don't forget Wayne Knight. 1998, scientists decipher the last of the genetic code material of the bacterium that causes tuberculosis. Because you're going to want to bring that back.
2001, Nintendo launches the Game Boy Advanced portable game system in the U.S.
2002, United States Congress acknowledges Antonio Meucci as the first inventor of the telephone in Resolution Number 269.
2004, Cassini Huygens, or Huggins if you're nasty, performs a flyby of Saturn's moon Phoebe, or Phoebe if you're really nasty, passing within 2,000 kilometers of its cloud tops at around 1933 UT. Scientists plan to use the data collected to create global maps of the cratered moon, as well as to determine Phoebe's composition, mass, and density. It will take scientists several days to analyze the data and draw conclusions.
Same day, same year, Universal Pictures releases The Chronicles of Riddick, directed by David Twohy, starring Vin Diesel, Judi Dench, Dandy Newton, Carl Urban, Nick Chinley, Calm Fior, and like six people saw it, because they were checking out what happened with Phoebe, because they were nasty.
I was one of those people. I liked that movie. 2006, Google adds geocoding capabilities to Google Maps.
Ooh.
Geocoding is the ability to assign specific identifiers, in this case, addresses, to points on a map.
That would kind of help. Same day, same year, Nintendo releases the successor to the Nintendo DS, the DS Lite. With less calories.
See, if that was Apple, it would merely be a light and cost you $12,000. 2007, Apple releases a version of its Safari web browser for Windows computers in an attempt to slacken Microsoft domination of the web browser market for free.
What?
Back,
no.
Back when they used to do stuff like that.
2008, NASA launches the Gamma Ray Large Area Space Telescope from Cape Canaveral, Florida. Dr. Banner unfortunately had to knock that kid Rick out of the way, and thus a legend was born. Birthdays?
Charlie Tahan, 21 years old, from I Am Legend, Frankenweenie, Gotham, and Wayward Pines.
Shia LaBeouf is 33 years of age, from Even Stevens, Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, I, Robot, Transformers, Indiana Jones, and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and that horrible Alfred Hitchcock knockoff he did.
Man, that was a dude that was like at the top of the food chain and then just rocketed down.
He tried to pick up Indiana Jones's hat. You better leave that damn hat alone. That ain't your hat.
Joshua Jackson's 41 years old, from Mighty Ducks, Dawson's Creek, Urban Legends, Fringe, The Affair. He and Katie Holmes really seem to survive the curse a little bit better than anybody else, huh?
Pretty much. Peter Dinklage is 50, from Elf, The Baxter, Underdog, Prince Caspian, Days of Future Past, Pixels, Infinity War, and this independent show called Game of Thrones.
Why'd you have to mention Pixels? Oh, wait, because he's the only good thing in it.
Exactly.
Hugh Laurie, 60 years old. A Bit of Fry and Laurie, Jeeves and Wooster, Veep, Tomorrowland. He was in Catch 22. Wait, are we talking the original movie Catch 22 or the TV show?
The TV show now.
Oh, I got to watch that. Holmes and Watson, poor guy. And, of course, we all know him best from House and Blackadder and the few other things.
So many things. Adrian Barbeau is 74 years of age, from Maud, The Fog, Escape from New York, Cannonball Run, Swamp Thing, Creepshow, Back to School, the voice of the computer in The Thing.
Oh, no kidding, I didn't know that. Born this day, no longer with us, 1723, Johann Georg Palitzsch, the guy who confirmed Halley's Comet was real.
Damn right. 1894, Kichiro Toyota, Japanese businessman, founded Toyota. Ah, I see what he did there. He changed it just a little.
Well, because otherwise all of those jokes about winning a free Toyota action figure would have worked. 1910, Jacques Cousteau, French biologist, author, and inventor. He co-developed the Aqualung.
He wrote that Jethro Tull song? 1933, Gene Wilder, who did not just die again this weekend, from The Producers, Willy Wonka, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, Stir Crazy, the man was always a delight.
He is definitely missed. 1937, Chad Everett, Medical Center, Airplane 2, Star Command, the 1998 Psycho, and Mulholland Drive.
And in 1943, Henry Hill. He always wanted to be a good fella.
On television today on CBS, we've got a rerun of Nikis, Fabi, and Lexi learns from an unexpected ally that an Egyptian official possesses files that may reveal Farouk's location on Blood and Treasure.
ABC has a new The Bachelorette. And look, Press Your Luck is back. It's not called Whammy, the new Press Your Luck. It's just Press Your Luck. I know.
NBC has Auditions 3 on America's Got Talent and Songland.
Fox has a rerun of 9-1-1.
CW has a rerun of The Flash and The 100.
Freeform, Jane and Jacqueline's expose makes an impact. Sutton celebrates the end of her design seminar with a fashion show on a new The Bold Type.
AMC has one of the best sequels ever made, starring Nicolas Cage. It is National Treasure Book of Secrets.
FX is showing Logan, followed by a new episode of Pose, which could really be the same universe.
FXX, Simpsons, Beware My Cheating Bart, The Winter of His Content, and Bull E.
IFC hopes you don't have a case of the Mondays, since it's not Monday. It's Office Space. Jump to conclusions, Matt, because you jump to conclusions.
That idea is, it's a horrible idea. Yeah, it's pretty much the worst idea I've ever heard. Sundance has 16 candles.
Sci-Fi Channel London has fallen.
TNT has Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Science Channel, it's a new what on earth?
USA has a new WWE SmackDown, brother.
VH1, it's Black Ink Crew Chicago, but we're going to be watching the Hallmark Channel, because when a widowed mother moves her daughter to her college dorm, she finds herself attempting to put her life back together. But when she receives an offer from a professor, she soon discovers a new outlook on a life of her own. Kelly Rutherford and Cameron Matheson star in Love. Of course.
I like it. Learning
the wonderful
course.
Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby is not thrilled to be assigned as a litigator for humiliated firm partner JJ. Then Stefan invites Abby to dinner with potential client Xander without telling her the whole thing's actually a double date he's trying to set up. because secrets and lies ain't nothing new to him. Abby is so mad over being set up, but then she lets it go when she sees Xander kissing Stefan's girlfriend in the restaurant bathroom. All she knows is Stefan finds out he's gonna be as mad as Hades. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, not exactly, because everybody is so busy typing in and writing going, oh my god, thank you after that homicide incredibly difficult week to give us the easiest thing you possibly could. Woo! And if you think it's easy, by all means, tell us where are Chad and Abby at this week, or anything else you'd like to tell us, like what time we can expect you for the big move on June 22nd. Drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You know, it's one of those things you just say it again and again, and it just gets in people's heads, and they just do it. It's that kind of thing. It's subliminal, but not that subliminal. Drop us a note, won't you please, by voicemail, by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
And bring a sandwich.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hey, this is Katie Sackhoff, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Awesome. Indeed. You know, that's the star of the only Riddick movie that I ever want to watch in my life. Just so you know.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
That's a dirty lie and you know it. What's out today, sir?
Well, in our TV aisle, we have the show that has won so many awards in the comedy category because it's one of the funniest shows ever made and definitely a true comedy. Note the sarcasm. It's Orange is the New Black, season 6.
It's made me laugh. I am the Knight, starring Chris Pine. He's not Dracula.
Oh. We've also got Timeless Season 2, which is the finale.
Yep. Magnum P.I. Season 1, the new Magnum P.I.
Okay. Classic TV on DVD, we've got the Johnny Quest Complete Original Series.
And on the off chance you don't own it already, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., one of the greatest misfires. Hey, Fox, you keep screwing up shows, don't you?
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez, God, that show's so good. From our must-be anime based on title alone, we have Naruto Shippuden, box set 38, because there needs to be that many.
In a row? Hazuka's Cool-Headedness, season 2, the complete collection.
Are they even? In our collections department, we've got Star Trek Trilogy Collection. By the way, they're now billed as the Kelvin timeline to separate them.
It's okay. Fast and Furious, the 8-movie collection, billed as the, really? You guys are still watching this crap collection?
And of course, in perfect line with the Fast and Furious 8-movie collection, something that people oftentimes compare it to, we have the Godfather collection.
They compare it to Godfather 3, you mean? Re-release department, we have the criminally underseen They Might Be Giants. No, it's not about the band. It's about George C. Scott thinking he's Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh. We also have The Rundown, which I love that movie. It's Sean William Scott. It's Christopher Walken and The Rock. What more do you need? Oh, yeah. Everybody else is awesome, too.
And Rosario Dawson in The Jungle and Sweaty.
Yes.
Mean Girls is out.
We've also got the Smokey and the Bandit Pursuit pack. Come on. Great soundtrack. You get at least the first one in that. What more do you need?
Well, you got the third one in there, which is the best Burtless movie ever made. From our Feel Old department, you've got your 30th anniversary edition of the Back to the Future trilogy.
Oh, great, Scott. And if you want to feel really old, in the 35th anniversary level, we have Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
From our What Describes My Love Life, or I Wish It Did department, Kinky is out today.
Oh, we all know you are. Yeah. And in our regular movies, we've got Leprechaun Returns, because... Why not?
Nemesis 5, the new model, which could be the subtitle to Leprechaun Returns.
But at least we have something original. We've got Captain Marvel.
Nice. No one's ever seen that before. But we're getting the story of an isolated island off the coast of the southeastern United States where a mysterious sequestered commune exists. Kamishi, son of Pastor, the tyrannical yet charismatic leader of the island, keeps everybody under his thumb. And when Cam's sister Riley falls ill, he must find a way to get her to safety or watch her die. Together with his friend Hannah, Cam discovers the sinister nature of the island. A harrowing game of memory and manipulation unravels, revealing that things are not always what they seem. Nia Peoples, Dean Koshlis, and Patrick Wade star in Apocalypse Island.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Thus far, we have stayed away from E3 stories because otherwise we wouldn't be talking about anything else. But now there is one we must discuss.
Xbox Scarlet? The Borderlands free pack? The sort of Johnny Mnemonic cyberpunk thing?
No. The only thing I truly care about, the Blair Witch game.
You can't make a snuff game. Let those kids rest in peace.
Now, you've heard us both say that we love this franchise, and I went crazy overboard when the first flick came out. I bought the comic book that the crazy guy gave out on the street, the Diary of Rustin Parr, and even got the dossier from the private eye that Heather's mom hired.
Dude, you know it's all fake, right? You know, the fictional?
Yes, but the fact that so many people thought it was real is still magical. So welcome to a first-person, story-driven, psychological horror game based in that universe.
Oh, hello.
It's 1996. A young boy disappears in the Black Hills Forest near Burkittsville, Maryland. As Ellis, a former police officer with a troubled past, you join the search.
Geez, aren't there any normal fictional police officers who had a boring life?
Nope. What starts out as an ordinary investigation soon turns into an endless nightmare as you confront your fears and the Blair Witch.
Does this take place after the reboot or Book of Shadows?
Yes. And no. The game is coming to Xbox One and PC on August 30th, and I'm going to be honest, I am primarily playing to see if I can ever find out what happened to Josh.
Is he still in timeout? Audiobooks are becoming more and more popular, since you no longer need 20 cassettes or 5 CDs to get the story.
Which was never easy, especially if you had the CDs on shuffle.
You joke, but I've done that. Twice. Well, in an effort to maximize profits, I mean, to get consumers more options, Marvel Entertainment has signed a deal with audiobook publisher Dreamscape Media to bring some of its iconic tales to your ears. Among the 24 exclusive recordings, fans can expect read-to-me-style versions of prose stories featuring Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Spider-Man, the X-Men, and other characters from authors such as Dave Michelini, Tony Isabella, Len Wein, Marv Wolfman, and Peter David.
God, I hope they make, like, the sound effects, too. Logan stared down Sabretooth. Snarling, he said, "You picked the wrong time to bother me, bub." Schnicked.
I'm sure that they'll have actual sound effects and not just onomatopoeias. But the audiobooks will hit digital shelves in September. There is no word yet on an official launch date or pricing. Dreamscape Media parent company Midwest Tapes, good name, is set to handle distribution of recordings, selling them through Amazon, Audible, iBooks, Google, Overdrive, and other platforms. The firm recently released 2 seasons of its original Wolverine podcast and partnered with Serialbox to produce a handful of stories featuring Marvel characters, each installment accessible in print and audio. Kitty stomped her foot, threw her hands up in the air, and boomed, "Professor Xavier is a jerk,"
followed quickly by, "Tony Stark is still a douchebag." And on a more serious note, artificial intelligence can now detect brain aneurysms.
It's not a tumor?
No, but it is an awful thing. So Stanford University researchers developed an AI tool to highlight areas of the brain scans likely to contain an aneurysm.
Oh, good. Otherwise, I'd feel bad about my ridiculously unnecessary pop culture reference and impression.
God, what kind of jackass wrote that joke? The condition, which can go unnoticed until it's too late, causes blood vessels in the brain to bulge to the point of leaking or bursting, potentially causing stroke, brain injury, or death. Aneurysms come in various shapes and sizes. Some balloon out at tricky angles, others register as no more than a blip. It can take humans hours to comb through scans for signs of irregularities. To cultivate their algorithm, the team labeled by hand every voxel, the 3D equivalent of a pixel, of course, based on whether or not it was part of an aneurysm. The HeadXNet tool's conclusions are then overlaid as a semi-transparent highlight on top of the scan, allowing clinicians to still see what the original scan looks like without the AI's input. With the tool, they're able to not only correctly identify more aneurysms, but we're also more likely to agree with one another.
We don't need angry doctors. This isn't House. Shout out, birthday boy.
Researchers cautioned that further investigation is needed before the system can roll out, mainly due to differences in scanner hardware and imaging protocols across hospital centers. In the future, the machine's learning methods at the heart of this program could be trained to identify other diseases inside and outside of the brain. Or this is just Skynet secretly learning more about us to better torture us after Judgment Day.
Dun, 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 dun. The GRD server issue. Nothing has baffled geeps as much as this odd thing where one house could not access the server on computer or phone, yet the IP wasn't blocked and everything was set as it always has been. We may now know why.
Web gremlins.
Last week, the internet had issues around the globe. YouTube stalled, Shopify stores shut down, Snapchat blinked out, and millions of people couldn't access their Gmail accounts.
See? Web gremlins got to the server!
The disruptions all stemmed from Google Cloud, which suffered a prolonged outage. An outage which also prevented Google engineers fixing it because the tools were in Google Cloud. So yes, Google couldn't fix its cloud because Google's cloud was broken.
You could say the problem was Cumulus.
The root cause of the outage, as Google explained, was fairly unremarkable. And no, it wasn't hackers.
Web gremlins, though.
The company initiated what should have been a routine configuration change, a maintenance event intended for a few servers in one geographic region. When that happens, Google routinely reroutes jobs those servers are running to other machines, like customers switching lines at Target when a register closes. Or sometimes, importantly, it just pauses those jobs until the maintenance is over. What happens next gets technically complicated. A cascading combination of two misconfigurations and a software bug, but had a simple upshot. Rather than small clusters of servers blinking out temporarily, Google's automation software descheduled network control jobs in multiple locations. Think of the traffic running through Google's cloud like cars approaching the Lincoln Tunnel. In that moment, its capacity effectively went from 6 tunnels to 2. The result? Internet-wide gridlock.
Oh, that I understand.
Still, even then, everything held steady for a couple of minutes. Google's network is designed to fail static, which means even after a control plane has been descheduled, it can function normally for a small period of time. It wasn't long enough.
You can't be serious.
Google has taken some steps to ensure that a similar network brownout doesn't happen again. It took the automation software that deschedules jobs during maintenance offline, and the company says it won't bring it back until appropriate safeguards in place. To prevent a global incident. It has also lengthened the amount of time its systems stay in fail static mode, which will give Google engineers more time to fix problems before we all feel the impact.
No matter what your stratus.
Excellent cloud puns, my friend.
Thank you! Woo!
Or we could just buy more Pied Piper coin because Richard Hendricks' new internet will save us all.
Oh, God, I can't wait for the last season. Come on.
I gotta catch up.
There is a video that you need to see. It might even make you believe in magic.
But I do. I still can't figure out how the hell I got a coin star stuck behind my ear, though.
Vivian Gomez recently shared a video of a strange occurrence on Facebook, which showed a small creature on 2 feet walking somewhat funny outside of her residence. No one knows what's going on in the footage. However, the video has received more than 5 million views on Facebook.
Is it a chupacabra?
So I woke up Sunday morning and saw this on my camera, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what the heck? First, I saw the shadow walking from my front door, then I saw this thing. Has anyone else seen this on their camera? The other two cameras didn't pick it up. For some reason, Gomez wrote on Facebook.
I bet it's a chupacabra.
The internet has spoken, and there is consensus. She filmed Dobby the House Elf. Because the video shows a creature with what appears to be thin legs and elf ears dangling down a driveway caught on a home camera.
But Dobby died. It can't be him.
They have spells. Some folks believe that this is some sort of chicanery, maybe a bit of video editing, because the video of the creature simply disappears in the final frame. Those people, of course, are forgetting that Dobby can disapparate and probably has a time tuner and has had a few glasses of butterbeer inside of him. So let the elf live his life. He's doing fine. Besides, if Dobby does wrong, Dobby will throw himself off the topmost tower. See? Yeah, that's right. I have a trivia team that plays on Monday nights whose name is Dobby's Dead Body, and the entire place cries when I read out the name. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial. Non-derivative works licensing 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and sub by the website at geekradiodaily.com. If you'd like to tell us, watch the video. Tell us what you think you see. You let us know, because it really does look like a house elf. Let us know. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send it in a voicemail, along with your guest for Chad and Abby, too.
510-GRD-CROW.
She should throw some socks out there. The thing would run away and just leave her alone forever.
That was great! A lot of fun. When do I get my check?
Peace out, player.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Listen, ladies, it's been real, and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun? Mm-mm. Nope.
We'll be right back.
fertilized mosquitoes, and before long they were cloning DNA. Now I'm being chased by some irate velociraptors. Well, believe me, this has been one lousy day. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone shut the fence off in the rain.